If they spend any time talking to me, they'll charge us for it, so.
I'm glad we're on the same team.
So anyway, it'll cost a few dollars, it'll cost a little, probably a few, couple hundred to get a bid, and then I don't know how much it'll be to fix those little issues if we need to. So far, I've been able to keep it working on everybody's system, and I don't think it's a big issue, but it could be going forward in another year from now.
How many vendors charge to do a bid?
Not very many. I don't know anybody that does.
Is that just for e-filing, Ron?
No, that's just, PIBS itself.
That's just a view of the PIBS.
The whole thing is on the backbone of Java, is what runs the whole thing. And if you update a computer that PIBS is running on, the Java updates, it breaks it, and then I have to go back and fix some things. But it's not a big deal to do. Just going forward, it may become more of a problem or more of a security issue. IT people may think that it should be fixed in order to make sure you're at the highest security level you can be. And that's all the county has to look into moving it forward, because theirs is more open, you know, to the outside than most people's are, because of the way they do their work.
I'm assuming that when your office reviews their contracts or their software contracts, you don't send them a bill along with it, do you?
I don't think we do.
Seriously.
So anyway, otherwise it's still, those who are using it, we just fix them up and keep them going, and if we need, I'm just addressing things as they come up. And it hasn't been a big issue so far. Most of the work I can do just remotely, so it doesn't incur much cost as far as that goes. But.
So, what would you like us to do?
I mean, obviously we know that the RFP process is going to take some time, and I give, you know, those that have been living on it for a while, I mean, you know, you say here 3 to 5 years, and I'm sure that this is going to be one of those fixes that would have to happen, at least eventually in that time. Java.
I think within the next 2 years, we probably need to fix it so it'll run on a newer version anyway, because if we don't, then I think we might be running into trouble.
Yeah. You give people a... I don't know. Yeah, I think first we got to see what the cost is going to be.
Right,
obviously, if
right.
It's astronomical, we'll have to tell people you better hurry.
Right.
If it's, but I think that we ought to go ahead and, that'd be my motion, is at least we find out what the cost would be to update it to the newer version of Java. And if while they're doing that, they can fix that other glitch, but I don't think that other glitch is worth $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, that's just a... based on what I've seen from before, but it wouldn't take much for them to give us a bid on that, to tell us what it would cost, so I figured it'd be worth at least knowing what it would cost.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Any opposed?
Thanks. I'll just get that bid and let everybody know before.
I had on my brief agenda, forgot to put in my long agenda, about the web page. Ron, do you want to talk about the web page? Tell them what we're going to be showing this week.
Basically, we're just doing an update on the web page to make it more, streamline it, make it look better, provide more information on it, to give it. We've got a members only area where you can sign up. If you go to it, you go to the members menu and you just click on registration, and you can register for the members only area. And there we're planning to put the toolbox, which is all kinds of documents and things that help, you know, that give you trial things and...
Your checklists and forms
and all kinds of things.
Anything
like that.
Anything that you can grab.
And put it in the protected area so that just, unless you're registered, you can't get to it. But once you do, you can get to it just fine. I'm looking into, well, then there's a motion bank that we're trying to get going. Has anybody submitted anything yet for that? No.
Okay. No.
So that might take a while to get going, but we'll provide a place for people to go in and look at different motions that people have gotten, get the document that gives them a head start to do their own for different types of motions and stuff. Then I'm looking at building a little piece where you can go in and get your CLE. Rather than calling Marilyn and having her send your report, you can go online, log in, and tell it who you are and say, I want CLE from this date to this date, and it will give you a little report that says, what
cool,
you've done.
Huh?
So awesome. It's just kind of try to automate stuff to make it easier, and then you can still, I'm sure Marilyn would still help you if you called her.
I'd be more than happy to help.
But that's going to take a little while to get that, because there's some security things that I have to work through to make sure that that work. So that's kind of the members area. The rest of it's just kind of just trying to update it so that it looks, so it has a nice look to it. It has our new logo on it, and just it provides more information. It's kind of going to be a work in progress, but it's on the website now, the new version of it. So if you have any questions or suggestions, or if something doesn't work, just let me know and we'll go from there.
And that's one thing I want to stress, and I will stress, is that as you're using it, you know, send us your feedback, because we don't have all of the good ideas, and so we'll be looking for feedback. Does this work? Does that not work? What do you want to see on it? Jeff emailed me, I think, last week or the week before, asking about the newsletter, and I apologize that we haven't been publishing a newsletter like we have in the past. Had some law clerk issues, but the newsletter is actually going to be on our webpage. And so what I've been having my clerk do is just prepare the summaries, and they will be there on the webpage. We've talked about sending out a notification like once a week, letting people know that there's something new on, there's new case summaries, there's new information on the webpage. Or Donna maintains, a cooking blog or a couple cooking blogs, and she says that you can sign up for a service that when something is added to it, it sends you an automatic email. So we're looking at those kinds of things. In the toolbox, it's something that we had come up with at the basic prosecutor course a couple of years ago. And so again, we'll be looking for submissions for that, whatever works. I gave Ron just a huge amount of information that I brought with me from Orem, only to realize that they needed to be renamed, and so I didn't want him to spend his time renaming all my files, but we'll have some good things. In terms of the motion bank, I wanted to open this up and just get your feedback. Matt Bates emailed me, or if you recall, I sent out, maybe it's been about 6 weeks ago, right around there, a request if you had any sample motions that you'd like to see go on into the motion bank, if you'd send them, and so that we can start posting them. And Matt asked if that wouldn't be subjecting ourselves to a potential grammar request. And I thought about it and talked with the grammar guru in the AG's office, and he said that as a government entity, if I'm if UPC is the repository of these motions, then yes, we could probably be subject to a grammar request. But he asked, are defense attorneys filing grammar requests with offices to get copies of their motions now? And I said, not that I was aware of. And so then he said, well, does the benefit outweigh the potential risk in those grammar requests? And I said, probably so. And he said, well, then maybe that's your answer. But before we do anything, like I said, I just want to get some feedback from you all. As Ron mentioned, despite the request for motions to populate our motion bank with, I haven't gotten any submissions. And so I was going to put mine on there, but then that, shows it. Either the good work or the poor work that I do, but and I'm willing to do that. It's just as a council, how do you feel about that?
What's the concern?
What's the big deal?
So these are all motions that have been filed in court anyway. They're all public record.
Right. It just saves them a lot of work and gives them but the thing is, as far as grandma goes, if you consider them all to be drafts, then they're not. Then they can't be released anyway.
Okay. We could do that. Put a watermark on every one of them that it's a draft.
They work product.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite statutes.
Okay. So, do you see that it's a concern or not? It's not worth it. The benefits of having a bank outweigh any possible grammar request.
Yeah.
Well, what if...
Just whatever you submit, just submit it as a draft to you.
Well, what if... We click these, for example, I would love to see... the memorandums filed in these court cases in our court of appeals and Supreme Court done by the AG's office, because they painstakingly walk through all the elements of every issue they're doing there, so that when I'm doing my motion to suppress or whatever else, it's a good tool to pull off of. So I make sure, since I go step by step in my motions and everything else, what if we pulled all these things together and charged a fee to the users, a nominal fee, does that take it out of Grandma if you're actually doing that for capital? It's not your own work product. You're gathering up things from public record and compiling them, offering it for a fee to your subscribers who are limited to prosecutors. Can we do that?
I think it would if we were a private company. We're a public entity. I think Grandma says if you're a public entity, you're still good for Grandma.
I think that's right. I don't know how you get out of Grandma just by charging a fee.
Even when the record is not your own and you're compiling it from a public source.
If you have custody of the record, it is subject to Grandma.
So if I make a copy of anything and keep it in my office, that's subject to Grandma?
Absolutely.
Now, there are some things, I mean this, you know, this is...
Other than other exceptions, but, yeah. But say, for example, that you're doing an investigation for another county attorney's office and they provide you with a lot of information. The investigation is over with, so you can't claim that as an exception, and you get a Grandma request. And the question is, can you turn over what's been provided to you by another agency? Yes, you turn it over.
Now there's, I mean, you know, for example, we'll get, in lawsuits, there might be a development lawsuit, and so they want to come in and get copies of maybe all the engineering drawings for a subdivision, et cetera, like that. Well, we cannot make copies of those. They can come in and inspect those records. But we can't make copies of those. If they want copies, they've got to go to the originator, the owner. Again, we're the repository, but since someone else owns it, then Grandma, as far as copying, doesn't apply, but they can still look at it. So that's, I don't know if that would help us anywhere. Because if I say I owned it and gave it to you, I'm a public entity, they just come to me and get it.
Right.
In, right? That's why.
As far as them viewing it, the easy remedy for them would say, give me access to your website. Look at it there.
You guys are talking about court pleadings, though, right? Draft motions?
Draft motions, memorandum.
Yeah. I, from my perspective, I don't really care if the defense bar had my whole jump drive.
I don't either.
If it's meritorious, it will win, and if it's not, it won't.
Okay.
Yeah, I would parrot what you kind of said. We used to get from the AG's appeals division, they used to send out, do you remember, a really good outline of case law, but getting the draft briefs on different issues, that right there is 90% of the solution to me.
And that, I've been meaning to talk to Laura about it, but because she's been feverishly working on the case law update for spring, I haven't bothered her with that yet, but that is, you know, I wanted to talk to her to see what her position would be on what they could release, what they would be willing to release.
Grandma, Bob.
Okay. You like covered every random you've filed in the last 13 years.
No
kidding. Okay, I don't know. Do we need a motion on that? Like I said, I just wanted to get the feedback, see how you all felt about, you know, continuing to pursue collecting and getting motions that we can.
I don't even need a motion. I think we've already talked about doing it. We wanted to do it.
Right.
I'm not, since anybody wants to stop doing it.
I think we're good.
Okay. I'll just continue to, I mean, you know, over the, during the conference, I'll make the plug. Please send me what you've got, and I'll just continue to send that out. So, you know, as you're thinking.
And back to your briefing, I know that when I've, you know, called Laura or Jeff or anybody, right, they've been more than willing to share.
To forward you one of the briefs they've already filed previously and that outlines, they always do that when you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had it someplace, it's
probably not. They're also public documents because they're filing the court of appeals. And
yeah, I know. It's,
right, right.
It just saves you the time of having to look for it.
Yeah. Right. And then so other things that will be there, we've got a directory for all of the county and city, well, the goal is to have all the county and city attorneys phone numbers on there.
I don't have all the cities. I've done a search and tried to find the ones I could find.
Yeah.
And most not of, all there.
Most of us are in the witness protection program. You run from
all I put, all we put on the city directory is just simply the address to the city prosecutors or attorney's office.
Right.
And a link to their website if they have one.
Yeah.
We don't put any names on there.
Right. And so, I mean, I think we've got everybody's information here, but again, the idea was is, I know there's been many times, how do I get a hold of so-and-so, and as opposed to having to Google, you know, come to our webpage. Because that's what we want our webpage to be, is a resource. UPAA has a link. We're going to have a training link, I think, has been mentioned, where you'll be able to come and do the CLE, watch the videos. So just take a look at it. And again, please give us your feedback, because we're kind of excited about it. Ron's put in a tremendous amount of work. And hopefully it will be a resource that proves to be effective.
Just one other note, as I've built it so that it looks good on mobile devices.
Oh, right, that's the other thing.
More people are using them. So it should be reformatting to the size of your screen, and it changes the way it looks a little bit, but makes it easier to access stuff off of mobile devices, including an iPhone. I test it with my phone occasionally to see if I can still get stuff to it, and it seems to be working. There are a few minor issues with formatting on the smaller screens, which I'll work through as we go, but... So it should work on smaller devices too. So if you pull it up on an iPad or a tablet or a phone, and something looks wrong, if you can just let me know that, so I can fix it. And
as far as that other contact information for cities, maybe you can pull some of that off of the UMAA website.
Right.
UMAA. Oh, okay. I never even thought about that.
You tell Mosquito Abatement Association.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
They got it first.
Yeah. Anything else, Ron, that we need to? Did you talk about how they join, what that process is?
If you go on to the members only tab in there and you click on anything that is protected, it brings up a login screen first. If you don't already have an account that says not already registered, you click that, it takes you to the registration page. There's also a link directly to the registration page. You fill that out, it gets you started, it creates a record for us. Sends us an email. It copies me and sends Bob an email that says these people have registered. Click here to approve. So you're not enabled until one of us, somebody, Bobby's the one's going to review it normally. Then once he says, well, this is an actual prosecutor, not just some public person or whatever, then he can approve it. Then you're approved. And then you can once you're approved, you can go in and it'll assign you a password. It's just a random password, and it'll send you an email that tells you what it is. But then you can go in, log in, and change your profile information or change your password anytime you want. So that's how the process works to become a member there, so you can log in protect your resources. We can protect it so that. If we needed to, we could make a section that's just for prosecutors, a section that's just for individuals that are approved for more access, whatever we need to do. Right now, it's assuming that just everybody that signs up is just the prosecutor.
Okay. Thanks. Jeff's there right now. Are you signing in? Requesting a password?
Yeah.
Okay. I will try to get passwords approved as rapidly as I can. But, we're just really excited about it to just... make it a good resource for everybody.
Is it one of those that's set up that you have to change your password every 6 to 12
no,
months or something?
No, I haven't made it. I could do that if we wanted to, but I have not done that.
Well, my only concern is if someone's logged in as a members only, then they leave and go to the dark side or something like that. If there's, you know.
Well, if we know that, I can go in and we can just disable their account.
We usually know that.
We usually do. Yeah. It's easy on the county side, but you know the city guys are a little bit more slippery.
It's a little bit harder.
They still contact us if they retire or go to private because they don't get our information
that
anymore.
That will be the only ongoing issue, is knowing who should not be a member anymore, and we can disable that. But it's really easy to disable it if I know who it is. So.
Yeah, some people call me paranoid. I just call it good planning.
I agree.
There's a little drumming out ceremony that goes with it.
That could hurt.
Okay. So let me give you an overview then of what happened with case management. As you've got my summary of events there, as I met with Representative Hutchings several times or three times during the session, and every time that I met with him, you know, he felt he was optimistic, and so I felt optimistic that there was going to be some additional funds available to, you know, make a purchase. There was a concern that any request that we made would conflict with the AG's request, and so we had a meeting. Spence was on the phone, and Brian Tarbett, and Representative Hutchings, and Wade Fairway, and I think Gary Crane was there. I don't think you were there. Were you there at that one? Okay. And it was just made very clear, you know, to Representative Hutchings that the AG had a very specific need. I mean, they didn't have a case management system. You know, and so it was obvious that they needed something. And they wanted Representative Hutchings to understand that whatever UPC was requesting would not conflict with that. And I've been trying to, you know, let Representative Hutchings know that all along as well, that we're requesting, you know, we don't want to impact their request, because we don't want the legislature, because we are a line item on the AG's budget, we didn't want the legislature to see that there was money allocated to UPC, and then to say, well, then, you know, you AG's office, you've already gotten the money, why are you asking for more? So we kind of drew the line in the sand so that everybody understood where we were at, but still Representative Hutchings seemed, you know, he felt like there was going to be the additional funds for that. Let's see. Hutchings also understood that, or, you know, made it clear that he didn't want to fund make two separate allocations, that there just needed to be the one allocation for everybody. He agreed that he could see the benefit of having all of the prosecutors in the state on the same case management system, you know, and we're all on the same page. I tried to get a hold of Representative Hutchings right before the end of the session. I talked with his handler, his intern, and we were supposed to have a phone meeting, but it never did, and so you know, obviously we didn't get the funding for that. I'm not sure why. Well, I have some ideas, because that goes into the point number two in my longer summary, is CCJJ, Claire Webster from CCJJ had contacted me prior to the session and said that he thought that there might be some additional funds or unappropriated grant money that might be made available to UPC to help with the purchase of a case management system. Well, after the session was over, I contacted him and he said no, because of HB 348 and all of the expenses that were going to be associated with that the governor's office said that any unappropriated grant money would be used to fund HB 348. And so that may be why there was no additional funds forthcoming. Then Claire contacted me.
That was actually, I think, the language that you put in about.
Oh, was it? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it said any inappropriate.
Mm. Okay, he didn't tell me that. He just said that it came from the governor's office. Okay.
I'm kind of guessing anyway.
Right. Well, then Claire contacted me.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Probably a week or two after the session, and said that he was applying for the National Criminal History Improvement Program, the NCHIP, and suggested that I submit not really a proposal, but make a request under that grant for funding. And so on tab I, you can see the letter that I drafted. I met with him because when he sent me the application, at first I thought that I had to complete this huge application, which was just daunting. You know, it's requiring reporting the number of domestic violence convictions and how do we collect fingerprints and all this stuff. And I just thought, you know, there's no way that I can complete this. So I met with him and he said, oh, no. He says, I'm doing that. I just want you to give me, you know, a 400-word less summary of what you would do with these funds. So you can see the summary that I provided him. I asked him how much I could ask for. And he said, well, how much do you want or do you need? I think I reported at the last council meeting, or may have been the time before that, is New Dawn had, it's now Journal Technologies, if y'all didn't know. So Journal Technologies had given me an estimate for 1,000 prosecutors in the state, roughly around $800,000. So when I gave him that number, he kind of looked at me and said, well, maybe you should just ask for five. He says, you know, there's no guarantee that you will get $500,000, but why don't you ask for that? I said, okay, thank you, I'll do that. And then there's also a 10% match required in the grant, which, as you, again, you can see in my summary, is I had to get it submitted before this meeting, and so I'm hoping that the cities and counties that would possibly benefit under this would be willing to either help pay that 10% match, or we would find an IT person, whether it's Ron or a combination of IT people in the different cities and counties that could help manage that, that would also qualify for that 10% grant or match requirement. you know, realistically, there's a slim chance that, that we might get it. You know, I asked him if we got some funds, are we obligated to use them? Because perhaps it would not be enough to meet everyone's needs. Is that the, you know, to make up the difference would be too much for some of the smaller jurisdictions? And he said that we don't have to accept it. You know, it's not really great to request it and then not accept it. But again, I thought, you know, here's an opportunity to at least try to get, you know, the funding for that. So let me ask the council then. He hasn't submitted the grant, but do you want me to leave my proposal with him to try to get these funds, understanding that if it is granted, that there will be that 10% match?
I think so. I think most of the counties, a lot of the counties have already went somewhere. You went somewhere, right? You guys are in the process. Salt Lake County, all right.
Your I have no expertise, whatever. Okay.
We will be.
Can they tell us all about
it? Later this year.
They are.
We're building a new building, so
they're going forward.
That's the time to put it in.
So I don't think we have 1,000 prosecutors left. I don't know how that, you know, figures into the whole thing if everybody's gone and now we're looking at a bunch of smaller counties like mine. But it'd be a lot easier for me to come up with 10% of something.
Right, and obviously that 10% would be divided, you know, be apportioned among everybody. I just didn't want to commit. Well, I mean, I sort of committed us because, like I said, I had to get the proposal before council meeting. But if we're comfortable with that, then...
But as someone who hasn't bought, I'm comfortable. I don't know if Jeff is, as someone who has it ever.
I'm comfortable.
I don't vote, so...
If that's a motion, I'd second it.
Okay.
If you need a motion.
The motion to continue on. So the, I'm guessing the motion here is to continue on in seeking out the grant money, and we can decide how to use that at the time that it's offered to us.
Well, and then I think then the next step is that, you know, we get ahead of the game a little bit earlier as far as the legislative session goes, and then we can say, look, this is what it is that we've done thus far.
Right.
And
right.
And so we can maybe, you know, get some of that one-time funding that seem to be favorable.
Okay. Good. Then.
So do we have a motion then?
And a second. So a Scott, second. Motion.
All in favor?
Jan.
Aye.
Who's
second? Opposed?
Jan did.
Oh. Jan did.
Okay. Let's see. Just some lessons learned. I probably should have camped out on the hill, you know, just to get a feel for what was going on. I don't know if that would have made any difference. You know, there's some speculation there as to why we didn't get the funding, and that's just speculation on my part, but... Paul just confirmed it for us, as I didn't realize that was part of what the AOC had proposed. Journal Technologies, as I said, you know, formerly knew Don. Their sales rep, Sean Moser, I think a lot of you have had contact with Sean. Just to apprise you of what happened there is he contacted me. He wanted me to be the point of contact for the rest of the counties and the cities in the state to negotiate a contract, and I told him, no, I can't do that. He said he has heard that, you know, some of the counties and cities feel that their company isn't willing to work with the individual jurisdictions, and so he drafted a letter that he wanted me to sign. I'm glad he sent it to me for review, because it basically said that Robert Church with UPC and New Journal Technologies are working together to come up with a solution for you, and so I shut that down immediately. I told him, you know, you could certainly contact each of the jurisdictions and be willing to work with them, but I couldn't be his point of contact. I also told him, and this is just my personal opinion, obviously, if the council decides otherwise, is that I don't feel comfortable, at least not right now, the way UPC is set up, is let's say, you know, that did happen, is somehow UPC was the front man for negotiating a contract. And then everybody has to funnel their payments to UPC that we then pay to a third-party vendor. I'm not qualified to do that, and I don't feel comfortable doing that. I mean, I think that's going to be maybe an issue that we have to address at some point, but that's what I told him, is that I just don't have the time or the resource or the expertise to be the funnel for that. So in essence, I told Sean to quit contacting me, because I don't want to, you know, like when the AG's office goes to bid, or when we go, RFP, I don't want there to be any appearance of favoritism of, you know, that we have been showing to Journal Technologies. So I told him that I